So our job is this. Our job is to live what we say we have. Because if you don't live it first, don't go out and tell it. Right? I mean, look, if you live like the world, don't go out and tell the people that you've got something other than what the world's got. It's that simple. So the first thing we do is live it. And then we tell it. Right? That's what he says. Some water, some sow, but God adds the increase. You're not responsible, I'm not responsible to drag them in kicking and screaming. Your job and my job is to let them see your life and hear your words about what God has done for you and to know that that he can do the same for them. Now what they choose, it's on them. It's not on you. It's not on me. So that's what he's talking about. He says, and I'm going to do this. I'm ready to do this. I want to do this with every fiber of my being because I'm such a great preacher. No, he says, no, I'm ready to do this because I realize I am fully persuaded. That's my words. I am fully persuaded that it is the power of God unto salvation. What is? The gospel. What I live and what I give out, it's not me. You don't do it so people will say, oh boy, do you know she's such a wonderful person? Oh, I tell you that, Dwayne is one of the finest men I've ever met. I hope they say that about both of you. But bless God, that's not what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be getting them pointed to Christ. Because I'm going to tell you something. You can fail, but he won't. You can't save, but he can. So that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to realize it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also Gentile. That's everybody. Oh, and by the way, don't you feel safer this morning? I tell you what, I've never felt so safe in all my life. Al Baghdadi's dead. Y'all did know that, didn't you? Y'all knew Al Baghdadi was killed? Well, don't you feel a lot safer? Well, he's the leader of the ISIS. They sought him for years. Now they've killed him. Wonderful. You know what should have been the news this morning? Not that Al Baghdadi died. Bless God, Christ died for our sins. That's the good news, folks. Because, listen, if your sins are not dealt with, you're going out of here lost. I heard this morning, I was listening to this guy, and sometimes I worry about, I worry about sometimes you all get the wrong message from what I'm trying to say. But I was watching this morning, and there was this guy who was 108 years old, and he did all this great work in cancer. And isn't that wonderful? I have a sister with cancer. Brother Will's got cancer. Listen, it's wonderful that men and women have done research and helped to try to find a cure for this dreaded, awful disease, right? But you know what the news was this morning? He's dead. He lived 108 years old. But he's dead. That's the key, honey. Not how much good work he did in his research, and I'm glad to listen, I'm thankful. Praise God, I hope they find a cure for it. But I'm going to tell you something. He's dead. The next one will be dead. You'll be dead. I'll be dead. We're all going to die. For it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. It's where we go after we die. Because we are going somewhere, folks. Huh? Now, so he comes along, and in that first chapter, he indicts the Gentiles. Then in the second chapter, he does what? He indicts the Jews. Why would he do that? Well, because it's Jews and Gentiles. It's to everyone, right? The gospel is to everyone. Well, listen, if you're going to give good news out to everybody, you got to give the bad news to everybody, right? Because if they don't have bad news, they don't have good news. So he says, okay, now I've indicted them. Now, here's what we're going to do. Who would like to participate this morning? Thank you, honey. John, you always want to participate. Can I get a non-participating participator? Nominate. Okay, you stand up. I got my hand up. Now I can't, but when I have to stand up, because I got my hand up, I about throw up. Oh, God. All right, now, where's your Bible? Well, hey, don't stand up without the Bible. I said we was going to do something. We ain't going to do nothing without that book. No. I'm not going to. No, she wasn't doing this. She wasn't doing that. Dwayne.
I don't care how to participate.
Stand up, son. Wait a minute. Stand up with your Bible, son. Huh? Oh, so I tell you. All right, now. I'm going to have you read. And as soon as he finishes, I'm going to have you read. Now, you have to do this with some passion, folks. Because I want you to understand that what you hold in your hand is not a book. It's the Word of Almighty God. And if it don't move us, there's something wrong. We should read this not with a monotone, but with a passion. Because what you're about to read, blessed God, is a good news. Right? What you're about to read, blessed God, is the bad news. Either one ought to be done with emotion and with a stirring. Because if you don't realize there's bad news, Becky, you won't want to give out any good. And if you don't realize it's good, you won't care about the bad. So, now we said that what they did was they indicted, right? They indicted the Gentiles and the Jews, right? Okay, now, I want you to start, and I want you to read chapter 3, not all of it, and I want you to begin at verse 19. Chapter 3 and verse 19. Now, as soon as you get through with 20, I'm going to point over to you, and you're going to read 21, okay? Now, I want it just to flow. Romans 3, 19. Yeah. It should have already been there. That's where we're at.
Emphatically read it like you believe it.
Hey, that's exactly right. Now, 19 and 20, he's going to read. As soon as he gets through with 20, you're going to read. Now, I want everybody to listen now. I don't want you to be looking around and stirring. I want you to listen. Go.
Now that we know that what things sower, the law saith to them, we are under the law that every mind may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law.
Stop. Go. Stop. Now, did you notice something there? He gives out that by the deeds of the law shall no man be justified or made right with God. And we've said that if you're not right with God, you are wrong with God, right? If you're wrong with God, you're done. Forget it. You're lost. So what he's saying is this. Don't rely, Jews, on the law. What he says is, for by the deeds or the working of the law, the keeping of the law, he said, by the deeds of the law shall no man be justified. That's bad news, isn't it? When no man shall be justified, that's bad news. That's why I didn't want to break in that, because he says, but now. that opposed to this. But now, go ahead, I read that again. But now,
the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets.
Stop. What does that mean, being witnessed by the law and the prophets? Huh? You don't understand that. You know, I love it when a person says they don't understand something in this class.
That's why I'm here.
Because that gives me a chance to tell you something. What that says is, by the law and the prophets, that's the Old Testament. The law was written by Moses. The prophets is Isaiah, and the pastor's going to do the minor prophets. It's all the prophets, right? It makes up the whole Testament. So the Old Testament is what they're referring to here. That's what they're trying to keep. The law of the Old Testament. The ceremonial law. They listen, God had said that he wanted his word in their minds. That's what he told them. Did you know that they took that to this extreme? They wore a little box. Literally. A little box on their forehead with a word, with a verse in it, thinking that was in their minds. What he was saying was, look, I don't want it, bless God, on the top of your head. I want it in your heart, and then it'll get to your mind. That's what he's saying. So he said, y'all sit down. So what he's saying there is this. And then he goes on to say, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Oh, that's bad. Do you think sin's going to enter heaven?
No.
Well, no, it's not. That's why there's walls. That's why there's a gate. 12 of them, bless God. So in case you try to sneak around, you can't get in any of them. I realize, I don't know if New Jerusalem has literal walls, but I know what it means figuratively. Walls are built to keep someone out. No, to keep out. Don't be adding to, for crying out loud. The walls are there to keep out. And he goes on to say what's going to be kept out, folks. He says, for there is nothing that worketh abominable things, no abominations, no sin shall be there. Only righteousness, only holiness, only purity. That's what's going to be there. But the good news is that that's possible. And that's where we're heading to now in all we're talking about. Because he says, listen, I realize all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but that's the bad news. I've got good news. And then he goes to chapter 4. And in chapter 4, he talks about a certain person who was the father of all these people. Abraham. He picks out Abraham because, listen, they had Abraham up on this pedestal. I mean, he was high up, folks. Because remember, they said in one place, they said, we be not bastards. We are of our father Abraham. What'd that mean? Oh, we're Jews. We come through the lineage of Abraham. Therefore, God is our father. And he said, oh, no. You missed the boat. You miss it bad, he says. You are of your father, the devil. Because if you were of Abraham, if you really were the seed of Abraham, you would do what? You would believe in me. So he's talking about here, he says, let's look at what that Abraham, what he found in the flesh. And he says, remember, and he says, for if Abraham were justified by works, he had whereof to glory. Remember, that was the second verse in that chapter. And then he goes on to say, but Abraham, what does the scriptures say? In other words, forget what you think. Forget what you think. Forget what I think. What does that book say? Well, that book says that Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for. Now, everyone knows what accounting is, don't you? Accounting is this. Anybody ever have accounting in college? You've got two sides. You've got assets and liabilities. Now, what is the liability to our life? We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, if we don't have anything on the asset side that outweighs that, then we are broke. We're bankrupt. Right? I mean, look, if you owe $25,000 and your assets total $1,000, guess what? In any court in this land, bless God, you're bankrupt. Because $1,000 can't pay $25,000. So he says, it was accounted unto him. It was placed in his inventory. It was placed on his ledger. And guess what? The righteousness of God. Oh, this is good. He says, where sin doth abound. Over here, sin's over here on the liability side. Y'all do know that, don't you? Say, it's got you. I mean, it's got you in real trouble, right? Where sin doth abound. Oh, that thing going down. Grace doth much more abound. Now it's coming back. Because grace outweighs sin, folks. God's righteousness, when it is imputed to you, you are made righteous. Remember, I told you, you're not thought of as righteous. You're made righteous. That's who you are. You're a new creature in Christ. That person is righteous. So he says, then he says, he talks about Abraham, and then he comes over there, remember, and he talked about David. You remember that? And he says, this blessedness that David found, let's talk about that. He says, did that come by works? Oh, no. No, because he says, what does the scripture say? Listen, when you want an answer, it's in there. He says, David said, what? Blessed is the man to whom God imputeth righteousness, and blessed is the man unto whom God will not impute sin.
What's impute mean?
I'm going to ask. No, that's good. It means to lay to your charge. Remember, your inventory. In other words, if your life's inventory has sin, then it's without righteousness. But God puts into your inventory when you're saved righteousness. The sin's gone. Now look, you say, but Tom, what is this that I do all the time? And we've talked about that. Listen, that's the flesh, folks. If you don't understand that there's a difference after a person's saved between the new person and the flesh, you'll never understand what salvation is. Now that doesn't give us a license to sin, right? That doesn't give you a license to sin, because you say, well, the new man sin never touches the new man, and that's right. Because the new person is where? In Christ. There's no sin in Christ. Sin will never taint Christ. And if you're in there, it'll never taint you either. But that's not true of the flesh. That's why the flesh is a daily thing. So he says, David says, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute righteousness. Now he comes on and he wants to talk about Abraham again in chapter 4. And he says, let's look back at Abraham again. He says, how did he get the promise? Now, first of all, let me ask you this. What was the promise? Hands up if you... thank you. I appreciate participation. What was the promise?
His heirs would be like the sand on the earth.
That's a good thought, honey. That's a good thought. That wasn't the promise. What was the promise? I'll explain that in a minute. What was the promise to Abraham? Hands up. Huh? Oh, that's what it was. It was land. See, he said, he told Abraham, remember in chapter 13 of Genesis, he said, Abraham, I want you to get up out of the land of Ur and go unto a land that I will give you. And then he says, and I'll bless them that bless you, and I'll curse him that curseth you. And then he comes on over to 14. And 14, I have a little thing. 14 is about the war of 4 versus 5. There was 4 kings against 5 kings, and the 4 kings win. And you remember that? That's where Lot had already gone down to Sodom, right? So they went against the king of Sodom and king of Gomorrah, and they defeated them, and they took Lot as prisoner, and they took everything that Lot owned with him and all his people and his possessions. They went with him. And then it comes over there and it talks about the war of 1 versus 4. Now, 4 beat 5. Well, you'd think if they was good enough to beat an army of 5 kings, they'd certainly be good enough to beat an army of 1, wouldn't you? But that's not true, because Abraham was that one. It says that Abraham, he got his men together, his men of war, and he went out and he beat the tar out of them. That's my word. He beat the tar out of them. He captured Lot back and got all of Lot's possessions. And he come back and here comes the king of Sodom out, and the king of Sodom says, oh, thank you, Abraham. Says, I tell you what, you just keep all these possessions for yourself. You just keep them all. Abraham said this. No, I'm not going to keep even a shoestring, because then it might be said that the king of Sodom made Abram rich. And you know how 15 starts out? Chapter 15 starts out with the Lord speaking. Abram spoke. Now the Lord's going to speak. He said, Abram, I'm your shield. I'm your great reward. I'm going to reward you, son. He says, I tell you what I want you to do. I want you to look up at the stars. And y'all remember that story. We went through it. And if you can number them, then you can number those that you'll bless. You can number them, but you can't. Right? Look, folks, we have no clue how many is in the church. I don't have a clue how many. Listen, you say, well, Tom, we could take all the churches and take all the people that's on the roads and add them up, and we'd know who's in the church. No, that's not the church. This isn't the church, folks. Let me tell you something. This is not the church. This is the organization. The church is an organism. I don't know who's in the church. I know for a fact I'm in the church. You say, now you're boasting. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. He says that his spirit beareth witness with my spirit that I'm his. Hey, now you got to speak for yourself, right? You got to speak for yourself. So he comes on down there and he says, now what? How cometh this blessing then? Is it by works or is it by faith? How did he get this promise? Did he get this promise by works or by faith? And he says, oh, he says, it can't be by works. Because if it's by works, then faith is made void. Now, what is faith? Huh? Okay, now I'm just going to go around here. I'm now y'all helping me. I appreciate it. I got believing. What is faith? Believing? Believing the things you can't see. Well, that's certainly true. Well, okay, let me do it this way. If you didn't hold that book in your hand, and you didn't hold that book in your hand, then you could believe anything you wanted to and say it's faith. Scott could look over at Jesse and say, Jesse, I got faith in you. He'd be a fool. You should believe in her. But that's not what we're talking about. Faith is what God says. Faith is believing. Remember he said Abraham believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Well, it's the same thing with faith. You believe God and it's and then it becomes faith. When you believe what God says, then you're believing in what God says and not that does away with different faiths. There's only one faith. It's not yours. It's not mine. It's not the Methodist. It's not the Presbyterian. It's not the holiness. It's not the Catholics. It's not the Jews. It's not the Islam. It's not, none of that. That's not faith. What does God say? That's faith. God says this, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If you believe that, bless God, then you need to do something about it. Right? Okay, but then he says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's bad. All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's faith. Now, you're believing, first of all, you're believing the bad news that God says. But then you turn around and you say, well, I believe that good news better. I believe the good news is better for me than that bad news. So I'm going to believe God that if I come to him, he will in no wise cast me out. And he'll save me. And you know what will happen? Bless God, that's what will happen. And then you know what will happen to your belief that you say you had, Becky? Do you know what will happen to it? That's a question, honey. Do you know what will happen to that belief that you say you had? It'll turn to faith. For by grace through faith are we saved. What that means is this. By the grace of God and the word of God, that's how you're saved. Not by walking down the aisle. Not by doing anything. You believe God. First of all, that you need saving. Second of all, that he can save you. And you come to him wanting to be saved. And guess what? That belief then he makes into faith. Now, if you don't believe it, I'll read it to you. So that y'all don't think I stay up late at night and not doing anything. By the way, if you would remember my little bride. I'll just throw that out. Now, he says, how was it then reckoned when he was in circumcision or uncircumcision? Did he get this faith when he was uncircumcised or circumcised? What's the answer? Huh? Uncircumcised. Listen, Abraham got the faith long before he received the sign of circumcision. What was the sign of circumcision for? Why did he get that sign? Why did the Lord tell him to circumcise all the males 8 years older? Why did he do it? Why'd he do it? Huh? You don't know. Well, look, I tell you, I love it when somebody will say, I don't know. To separate. Come out from the world and be ye separate, saith the Lord. It was a sign of separation. What it was, remember he told Abraham, he said, Abraham, I want you to leave where you are and go to a land that I'll give you. Well, listen, what he's saying is this. I want you to leave where you are and go to a land, bless God, that I'll give you. Because where you are, you can't get to the land that I'll give you. You're going to have to get out from where you are and come, bless God, to where I tell you to get to, and I'll give you the land. That means you're going to have to separate from where you were.
Be different.
See, that's the difference between easy believism salvation and true salvation. True salvation says, I don't want to be here anymore. I need out. And there's only one way out, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's faith. That's faith. And that's what he's saying. Listen, don't think that Abraham was saved because he was circumcised. My goodness, that's an outward sign. Baptism, it's the same thing, folks. I don't diminish baptism. I've been baptized twice. Baptized once when it's lost and once when it's saved. Hallelujah. I didn't need that third time. Baptism won't save you. If it would, it'd have saved me. But it didn't, and it won't save you. But it'll show an outward showing of what's going on the inside. You look up there at someone, and they are placed down, and the Bible says you are buried with him in death, and you are raised to walk in newness of life. In other words, you go down. But listen, I can tell you for a fact. Look at me. If you go down a sinner, you'll come up a wet sinner. Because that water won't do a thing for you. Won't do a thing for you. Won't do a thing for anybody. That water will only show people that can't see. No one could see Tom Foster wasn't saved. No one. Well, I'm sure they thought, whoa, isn't that wonderful? The preacher's son got saved. Twenty-seven years later, I got saved. And you know what's the first thing I did? Bless God, I got baptized. I wanted to follow the Lord in baptism. And you know what? I went down saved. I come up saved. I praise God. People ask me, they'll say, Tom, how you doing? I say, well, bless God, I'm saved and on my way to heaven. How are you doing? So he says, it didn't happen during circumcision, but in the uncircumcision. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of circumcision only, but who are also walking the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world. Was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law. Why? Why? He couldn't keep the law, folks. Listen, if God made it mandatory for him to keep the law to receive the promise, that's out. If God made it mandatory for you to live a certain way after you're saved to be saved, you're out. I'm out. Everybody in here, bless God's out. He said, no, it wasn't by the law. He says, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs. Now, I want you to notice a little word in there. Now, I made a little, y'all wonder how I see anything in this book, but I've got little scribbled notes everywhere. But this just caught me. And I noticed that word of. This is a small two-letter word. He says, for if they which are of. Now, what does the word of mean? I got me a teacher back here on this back row, and I tell you what, she would teach her little children in that schoolroom what the word of is. Well, wait just a second now. Hang on, just she wants to whisper it to me because she doesn't like to show how smart she is.
It means connection.
And that's